The Destroyer. Gonna show him something.
Yeah.
You were, I will say, you were a three outer away from showing him something.
No, that first event, you're right.
You were, I mean, you win that hand, like.
Oh, it was on in that event, yeah.
I mean, like three. That sucked. Like, you were a three outer away from showing him something.
Well, maybe this summer, man. Maybe this summer will be better.
That was so brutal. Oh, that upsets me.
And it was tough. It was like one of my first tourneys. So I was like, oh, there'll be more. And then I just didn't do shit after. Fantastic.
He just like binks like the gutter on the river. And like,
yeah, he's jacked King Jack for like 550K. Yeah, it was a tough one.
Brutal. Well, let's start the show talking about our friends at Whistle Pig Whiskey. Ben Mintz, tell me about it. The one need thing that you know.
What Whistle Pig? Well, I know that it's badass because all the reviews I see of it are how it's one of the best whiskeys in the game. And if you need that nightcap, you know, you're done with a long day of poker. You're unwinding, reviewing the hands, the mistakes you made, the good plays you made. What better than a nightcap with Whistle Pig to end your day?
Let me tell you where you can get it. If you go to cans.whistlepigwhiskey.com and use code ACES22, you get 10% off your order. Everybody knows the Piggyback Barrel Age Craft Cocktail in a can is much better than a seltzer. It's crisp and refreshing, but super bold and flavorful. It's 8%. It's not a pussy little seltzer. That's 4%. The shit is real. It's 8%. They use the fruit in the barrel age. I still can't say it. I fuck it up every single week, but you guys know. They put the fruit in the same barrels as the whiskey, so it tastes amazing. The ginger lime, the lemon fizz, blackberry lemon fizz, and the citrus mint. If you go to cans.whistlepigwhiskey.com, use code ACES22. You get 10% off your order. You can also find the cans in stores. They sell out quickly, though. They're not even in my local liquor store. I asked. They said they had a shipment, and they were gone. So try to get them if you can, but if you can't get them in stores, go online. They're 8%. They're delicious. They're great for whiskey guys and non-whiskey guys alike because it won't like knock your head off, but you still get that good whiskey note. I enjoy it. I drink them at home while I watch TV. Fantastic product. Cans.whistlepigwhiskey.com. Fun show ahead. We have some DMs from the listeners. I read through them. I actually really like this batch of questions. We need a Mincy Tour update. We need that's what I wanted to start the show with. So I put out on Twitter, we had an awesome show last week with Garrett Adelstein, and I put out on Twitter, we're still on two different feeds. And I think I mentioned it a couple episodes ago. We have the feed from before we were
Barstool Podcast. You mentioned it every episode.
I do. Okay, good. Well, I still need to mention it because it finally worked, because I was getting super depressed that we were still on two feeds. And like, instead of being at the top of the iTunes rankings, we would just have two like in the middle at the bottom because half were listening on one, half were listening on the other. So I finally started pushing it on Twitter. And I guess I mentioned it in every episode and on Instagram, and it finally worked. We got up to like 15 in the games and leisure section, which is from what I've seen the highest we've been, which means people were subscribing to the new feed and not only on the old one, which is exactly what we need so we can pay the bills and we can continue having Whistle Pig as our presenting sponsor. So thank you to everybody who subscribed to the new feed. Helps a ton. So thanks to all those people. Really good reception from last week's episode with Garrett. And then his nemesis, Rampage, went out and won another $27,000 in a tournament. So good for him. Jake,
how do people sign up in the new feed again?
It's the feed in our bio on Instagram and Twitter. Okay. The thing is, like, they never shut down the old, whatever the RSS, whatever it's called. So, and it never like combined the two. So the new one has like a black background and the old one has the new one has a black background and the old one has a white background. And so you can unsubscribe to the old one and subscribe to the new one, or you can be subscribed to both. It doesn't matter. But if you're on the new one, it just helps us a ton since they never shut down the old one. And then Mikey Podcast quit and he went to a rival company. So that's where we're at. So it seems like a lot of people did it and switched over, et cetera. So thanks to all those people. Also, if you're in the Apple store, just hit subscribe on all the phones. Just go hit subscribe on all the phones. That helps. Jake, hi.
Hi.
What's new?
Not much. Getting surgery tomorrow.
You had what?
Getting surgery tomorrow.
Oh.
Getting surgery on my right elbow.
Tennis elbow?
Yeah, that's how it started. And then the ligament tore in there. And then I'm going to be out for a little bit. Ooh. Mincy, you want to come up to Jersey City and click the mouse for me?
That would actually be awesome. That would be really, really fun. I would actually love to do that. Because I could, like, you just talk and tell me what to do and I could learn from you and just click the mouse.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
I don't think that's illegal. Remember at my WSOP table, I had the kid in the wheelchair who couldn't look at his own cards. So, like, he had a guy next to him. That's basically you, Jake. Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
And he cashed and Nate didn't.
He sure did cash and I certainly didn't.
He did. Jake, was that a gradual thing, like since college, or just flare up?
No, I never had before. Ironically, I'm almost positive I didn't get it from playing tennis. I think I in like September or like August.
Jerking off?
Yeah, just too much of that. No, I think it happened in the gym, and it just like continually got worse. I got 2 cortisone shots over the course of like 4 months, and it was giving me a lot of trouble. So I got an MRI. Doctor told me I needed surgery. Here we are. It's all right.
How long are the recovery?
It's 2 weeks in like a sling, and then like 3 months or so until I can like pick up a racket again. Oof. But like, I mean, that's to like 100%. Like I'll be doing like physical therapy in a few weeks.
Yeah, sling life is no joke. Having to like sleep in a recliner and stuff.
You were in a sling for 2.5 years?
No, I was in a sling for 6 weeks when I tore my labrum. And I initially thought, I misunderstood the doctor. I initially thought it was 2 weeks in the sling. I went back for my 2-week checkup and I was like, we're getting this thing off, right? He was like, oh no, you got 4 more weeks, pal. Enjoy it. Like making a joke of it. I'm like, this isn't a fucking joke. I'm going to kill myself over here. I can't sleep. I can't move. I can't shower. I can't shit. Like, I couldn't do anything.
Sling life. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about shitting.
Yeah. Sling life is I tore my ACL and broke my leg. And I would take a leg injury over an arm injury for a sling.
A right arm injury.
Yeah.
I guess a left arm for sleeping is pretty brutal, too. I didn't even think of that either. Fuck.
Gosh.
All right. Yeah. Mincy, you're coming on full time up in Jersey City.
Look, I really do want to come up. That's something I'm not kidding, because I would love to just sit there and click and you just say what to do, and I'd like to learn, you know.
Lesson learned. Don't go to the gym, don't do physical activity, or you end up like Smitty and Jake. Me and Mince, we're just happy drinking soda and being fat.
You work out too.
You posted that you ran an hour yesterday.
Yeah, I ran like 4.3.
I'm going the opposite way.
I've been eating kind of crap. On the road, though, I haven't eaten healthy. But
you know how I know I'm old? I drink diet soda like a lot now. And it's like such like an old man thing to do, in my opinion. It's like old people just
drink. I haven't had a regular soda in 10 years.
Yeah,
I don't drink soda at all, but now I just crave Diet Coke like I'm 80 years old. Like it's.
Oh, I love Diet Coke, but I just haven't had a regular one.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, the only time I've had a regular soda is just on a plane where I was craved ginger ale, and they don't have diet.
Yeah,
so that's right. It.
Yeah, that's I get why people get addicted to soda. It's delicious. Like it is so, and that's like the fake. Like it's like diet soda. Like. Imagine adding 70 grams of sugar to something already that delicious. I get it. Like,
well, I mean, the regular soda is better for you than the diet soda. Diet soda just has what, aspartame in it? It's just like all chemicals.
Define better for you though.
Neither are really making you, you know, run up the mountain.
No, yeah, no. So.
Both are killing you very slow.
The lesser of two evils, but
possibly quicker.
I've just been on a Spindrift kick.
What's that?
Just like the seltzers, flavored seltzers.
Spindrift?
You don't know Spindrifts?
Mm-mm. Like LaCroix?
Yeah, similar.
Oh, no, never heard of it.
I just drink my whiskey pig.
That's, yep. Delicious. There's a video that Jeff Vibber did. I think it was like a TikTok ripoff. It's like, guess which one's my boyfriend? It's like a girl put it up and like she's like hugging a bunch of dudes and you're supposed to guess which one her boyfriend is. So like Jeff Vibber did it. Smitty gave Vibbs this hug that was like heartwarming. Like it was not like a bit either. Like Smitty, like you just needed a hug.
I didn't know there was a camera there. Big hug guy. What are you going to do?
He just really needed a hug. Like, man. That looked like one of those, like, he was on the way to kill himself, and then someone, like, a stranger gave him a hug.
What are you going to do?
But he's had a tough week. Whenever you get called out by the boss, whether you deserve it or not, it ruins your week.
Hey, ended up okay, apparently.
We'll see.
Next week, it'll be something else, so.
But Mr. Portnoy did send a company-wide email that was – because Smitty got on the mic at the Barstool Philly bar, sober at 7 p.m., but Dave thought that Smitty was, like, blackout drunk screaming into the mic at the Barstool Philly bar, and he sent a company-wide email, like, nobody's to touch the mic unless permission from me. And it was, like, the bar owner gave Smitty the mic, and Smitty just did, like, an Eagles chant. And
pretty much. Yeah, there was a little bit more to it than that, but yeah, it is what it is. Barstool Sansom Street open, 12th and Sansom, Philadelphia. It's wonderful.
Go so there. That's just it's like a sports bar.
Yeah. It's huge, and it's more than a sports bar. It's a lifestyle, Jake Tool.
Tell me more.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like you can go there watch the game during the day, but at night they open it up a little bit. It's more of like a clubby bounce feel, which is all good. The food is actually delicious. They have VIP spots, and it's a good place overall. Talked today on Dave Portnoy's show. I want to get like either weekly or monthly like dozen trivia quizzo night in there, and you know watch parties, all that. So 12th and Sansom Street, Barstool Sansom. Go.
Very cool.
We have two bars now, River North in Chicago and Philly, and I think Nashville and Scottsdale coming soon.
Exciting stuff. I'm pumped. The Nashville one, obviously excited about the South one. It's going to be fun.
Poker, anything new in the poker world?
I guess, Jake, obviously your surgery is knocking you out of the Houston 5K, to say the least, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to cancel my flight.
Damn.
What a shame.
That's tough. I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to refund all of my backers from the link that Mincy tweeted at me.
Oh, yeah. Mincy was just trying to buy action before you even sold any. I don't need to
add Jake to the schedule, but I did it in a very poor way that made Jake look like he needed a lot more help than he does.
He's planning a wedding. Oh, by the way,
you're not wrong. I just came from the city. I got my wedding suit today. So
you said yes to the dress.
I'm a little bit poorer than I was this morning.
I need an RSVP by the 1st of April. I might just have to do, who is it, Meredith in the office? Just, I'll text you the day of and put me down for the ribs. I just, like, what am I, like, can I just do it here? Me plus one, obviously. And I'll just, I don't know.
I mean, your plus ones are between our two lovely co-hosts here. Who are you choosing?
Ooh, who would be a better wedding date? Well, Mintz doesn't drink. Yeah.
But I do hit the dance floor.
You do boogie hard.
yeah. Smitty boozes, but.
And he also has to get away from the old ball and chain.
That's true. Like weekend away.
Yeah, man.
That's tough.
I don't know who I would choose.
Why don't you choose me for the rehearsal dinner? I'll fly out of there and then get Mintz in for the wedding.
I just want in on the bachelor party. What's going on with that, Jake?
That already happened.
Yeah.
Already happened.
Oh, was you it big Friday?
You know what? Nate didn't come. You could have taken his place if we had this conversation a month ago.
I would like to see Mintz on a snowboard.
No, no chance. Yeah, zero. No, you talk about people's knees getting hurt and stuff. No, you know,
we had a big house. You got a chilled in the hot tub.
Okay.
That was a crew video.
There was a no ski crew.
Did Jake? Did you see Mintz's pool video?
I did not.
He was just lazy river life. Ben Mintz. That
the pink flamingo.
Yeah, my favorite part of that, the person who filmed it was just the marketing manager at the casino. He didn't know he was hopping in the lazy river that day.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it was a cold lazy river too. But that video though, Dave, it was funny. Like Dave had just got crushed in the gambling. And he's only commented on my Instagram like twice. And he commented, and he was like, I just really needed to see this. So I think he got him pretty good with that one. So the Bears Lake Charles, though, that new Barstool Sportsbook last week, man, really, really great property. It was a lot of fun down there.
We have some questions on Instagram.
I played in my first World Series of Poker main event satellite on Sunday.
Oh, for the main?
Yeah.
215?
Two 215 buy-in on Sunday. I believe 37 people entered, and I finished 37th. So
done and dusted.
Yeah, gotta get through a couple more tables, but It's tough. You enter with, you know, it's a turbo. You enter with 2,000 chips. Blinds are 50-100, and you know, I get in my mind that I just need to accumulate, you know, a lot. Or I was putting an okay spot. I ace king and dusted by kings like early as whatever. But just mentally, it just seems like a long grind to beat, you know, 36 other people, even though it's like a 3-table sit and go.
Yeah.
4-table.
I didn't play any poker this last week. Jake,
I've been playing.
Anything of note?
No, I just, you know, I just head down and just grind cash games. And I thought about playing some of the tournaments on Sunday.
Michigan is looking to jump into your player pool. Did you see that?
I've been hearing those Michigan player pools. Yeah. I've been hearing a lot about that.
Story today, we tweeted it or retweeted it on the Twitter, is so right now, like, I guess, like, Delaware, New Jersey, and Nevada are in one player pool. Then Michigan's by itself. Pennsylvania's
But it's just on WSOP.
Just on WSOP is Delaware or combined?
No. WSOP is Delaware, New Jersey, Nevada. And Party Poker, just New Jersey. Poker Stars, just New Jersey.
Weird. So this Michigan one, I guess that implies that it's WSOP if they're trying to join Delaware, New Jersey, Nevada.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know this. Michigan has the 10th highest population in the United States.
Wow. Or state.
Oh yeah. I mean, I bet the games in Michigan are awesome.
No, I didn't know Michigan was that big. All kinds
of rumors that they're great from people up there.
So that would help you, hurt you, or in like no
probably
difference.
Help. Probably help.
Absolutely help.
I mean, I don't really care. Like to me, the more volume, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I like to play. I don't schedule my playing like around when the games are great. I mean, it so happens that usually when I play and stuff is running, they're like very, very good. But I like to play in the morning for, you know, a few hours. And then I like to play in like the mid to late afternoon. So if I can hop on at both of those times and I can play for, you know, 4 to 6 hours a day, around those times, then that's the more volume, the better.
Good for tournament prize pools.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What, Jake, what the cash games you're playing, what stakes are you playing? I know you're, you know, I'm just curious, like what's your day to day, how many tables?
I just play whatever's going, 2-5 and higher. I sometimes will play 1-2, but pretty rarely. I mean, the typical stuff is like 2-5 to 10-20. If I'm lucky, 25-50 will pop off every once in a while. But that's goes through cycles of the game, kind of running around like two, you know, big fish, that sometimes they're on for like a few weeks straight. Other times you don't see them for a while. So it really just depends.
Is there a bat signal that goes out when the fishies are there?
I mean, probably there's definitely people that talk. And so like if you like see somebody's, if you know, like, I don't know, Greg might tell me so-and-so was on, you know, sometimes it's a PLO guy, other times it's a no limit guy. And then you just like try to keep your eye out.
But it's the same guy. It's the same guys over and over again. And they just always lose.
It varies. I mean, yes, like those guys tend to lose quite a bit. I mean, sometimes depending on who they are, they can like, you know, they have the ability, they're like huge losers, but like they still can like beat you up in the short term pretty good. So like sometimes they'll like run up some money at, who knows, sometimes they'll start at 5-10 and just like run it up to 25-50 and like run it up and then dump it all. Like inevitably that happens. It just like, it just is funny. Like sometimes it's just, you're just like getting free money. Other times you're the casualty, which makes it fun and exciting.
Let's see. So many questions in the DMs.
Good.
Would we ever stake someone for content? That's a funny question. I got
no problem. Jay, that's all a Jay question, because the other three of us are trying to be in the game.
I would love. I mean,
what's the question? Stake somebody for content?
Yeah, just like a listener. I like it, Jake. I think you should say yes to that.
I mean, what does that even mean?
You not a listener, money. But it'd be very funny to see White Sox Dave actually try to play.
Absolutely not.
Oh, I'm okay. So stake somebody to play poker for content.
Yes.
Oh, I literally thought I was staking somebody to just create random like TikTok videos.
No. You're not opening a jakestool.com. There's been a lot of talk on the show lately about shot taking. For people with smaller bankrolls still playing micro and low stakes, is it worth it to take shots for 20% of our bankroll, or is that just degenerate gambling? Yeah, you probably shouldn't do it, but if you think that you can beat the game, like,
well, that's that exactly was my downfall in before Black Friday, was I went against the 2% rule and I ended up paying dearly for it. So I would recommend against it if you can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're taking a 20% shot in a tournament, that's insane. And would not recommend it. But if it's a cash game and that's like the max you're willing to lose, and you can, like, we've touched on this last week, where you can like fall back and grind the stakes that you're playing again, you know, and be able to withstand a big loss, then go for it.
Yeah, Garrett was such a good guest, but my number one takeaway was like, shot taking's awesome, because he was like, yeah, I just took huge shots and it worked out for me. That won't happen.
Well, no, because we talked about it, like, it was just much different back then. Like, that's not a recommendation for the environment today for most people. I mean, not everybody, but
what, nobody's like Daniel Negreanu, where the first main event, or excuse me, the first World Series of Poker event that you play in, you just win.
That doesn't happen. Him, and so that Jake Farah had on the show a month ago, 3 weeks ago, he did the same thing. He went to Best Bet Jacksonville with whatever, 3K, played a 2600 and got second in it. And last week he just, remember he said he was going out to Vegas. He said, no strip clubs, I'm just going to play poker. I think he final tabled two events, like one for like $250,000 and another one for, I think, six figures. So when it works, it works. But you only hear about those. You don't hear about the people who shot take, go broke, and are living under a bridge. So the recommendation is don't do it.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I mean, you hear from me, I was living under a bridge. Look at this guy. Don't be this guy right here. Like, I was
living under a bridge. You were living at your parents selling.
I was living at my fucking parents. I wish I was under a bridge. Yeah. Dead, dickless and just destitute.
Mr. and Mrs. Smitty, while their young boy was blogging and selling pasta at 30 years old.
And Mr. Stickies. I was 25.
When you were selling pasta?
Yeah. Up until I was
working at Barstool when you were selling pasta.
Yeah. I started at Barstool in 2011 when I was 26.
And so, but I started in 2013 or 14. And
well, that's when you were still part-time. Yeah, I was part-time until 2013, late 2013.
You were full-time in 2013?
At the end of the year, yeah.
And then you left and came left for like a week and came back?
Oh, no, I was fired
okay.
for a week.
Got it.
And then came back. I was part-time, fired, came back, was still part-time. Sneaky, like one of the best things that's ever happened to me is fired, because then like people started to pay attention to me and I did like a couple of really good things. And within a month or two, I was full time.
Those are the
wild, wild how it works out.
Now yeah. you can't get fired.
Well, I don't know about that. Hop on the mic a couple more times at a bar and see what happens.
Ask Jake how to combat wide three bets.
Is that you asking me?
No, that's from the DMs.
Well, you start to call more, and you start to four bet wider for value.
Just go all in and win flips.
I mean, if somebody's three betting enough to a big enough size, then yeah, I mean it's fine to just have a bunch of shoves.
Yeah. We get a lot of like very basic cash game questions. Like, I've never been to a casino before. Like, what game should I play? How much money should I bring? How should I play? Like, if you've never played live cash, go to 1-2. I would say buy in for 200 or 300 and just play what I would consider normal. Like, don't overthink. Should I play aggressive? Should I play passively? Like, play ABC poker. And if you don't know the basics of just ABC 1-2 cash game poker, you can quickly read on the internet, like just like very basic cash game strategy. But we get that type of question like a ton. I think that is the most basic of answer you can give. Like, definitely just don't overthink it. Like, just sit down and look at your cards and just play. I don't know. Like, is there anything more to that?
One thing I want to say on that front is like, there's all these people that play like home games, their friends or in frat house or whatever. And there's like an intimidation factor about like the first time you go sit in a casino poker room. Like, you don't, I don't know, it gets built up in like a casual player's minds. Like, it's like, oh, these guys are really good. They're in the casino. So no, they're not.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a whole thing where like, don't be intimidated just because you've never played in a poker room. Like, oh, I don't know if I should sit down and play 1-2. These are just random old dudes, people in there too. And so my advice would be, there's just nothing to fear but fear itself. Go in there. And I mean, you're only going to get better if you get in there and play, but don't be intimidated by a poker room or casino.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's really nothing to be intimidated. Like, you're not playing 50, 100 with superstars. No. Like, just go have fun. Like, bring your $200, play 1-2, get good cards, bet when you make a hand, fold when you don't have a hand, and easy game. That's also advice for Jake. Probably a little intimidated. Haven't sat at a table. And
well, I mean, the first time I ever went to Turning Stone, I mean, I think I played 1-2 or maybe it was 1-3 or something. I was unbelievably scared. Like, yeah, $300 was, or $200, whatever I bought in for, was quite a bit of money to me. And sure. I actually remember, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to take money off of the table. So like, I think I bought in, whatever, I bought in for $300 and I had like 500 in front of me and I took 200 off and I like just tried to like put it in my pocket. And I just remember some guy like two seats over just flipping the fuck out on me.
I have a similar.
He like called the floor, like all this shit. And I was obviously incredibly embarrassed. I had no idea.
I did something similar. The first time I ever played live was when I was 20 in England. I studied abroad junior year of college, and you have to be 18 over there. And I didn't know, like, I literally did the thing like out of the movies. Like, I see your bet and I raise you. You're not allowed to do that. You can't say, I call your bet and raise you. I see your bet and raise you. I literally did a string raise with the nuts. And they're like, no, that's a call. And you get a penalty because you didn't raise with the nuts. So that was my welcome to cash games. I didn't know you couldn't do that.
Yeah, I tried to put actual money on the table.
Oh, I love that. Like the bricks.
Yeah, like mid-hand. So
I have a good hand. I'm adding my money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
That didn't fly. And they saw I was a young kid. They were fine with it. Well, not fine with the money on the table. They were just like, get the fucking money off the table.
That's really funny.
I would imagine that stuff like that happens more than we realize. Like just that makes sense to me. Like, wait, I got aces. Like, let me add like $200 more to my stack. Like,
yeah.
That makes sense to me.
I still don't know why you can't take money off of the table.
Yeah, you can do it in every other game.
I mean, is it not I actually don't know if it's an actual casino rule or if it's something that's just really frowned upon.
No, I assumed it was because it's a communal pot. Like everybody's money is a part of like one big system there. Like if you buy in, so if you bought in with that and that, you can't leave until you take everything else out. Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying. It's not
like one giant organism.
House. Yeah. Playing against the house. It's like you beat the house. I get what you're, I'm with you.
Okay. Didn't make any sense in my head, but go ahead.
We answer this question a lot, but I love that we still get it. How do you overcome tournament boredom? You don't. honestly, start raising more and just I mean, that's bad advice, but that's what gets me in trouble. I get bored and you just have to refocus your mind and just listen to music, maybe play a game on your phone if you have to. Wouldn't recommend it, but there's no, everybody gets bored during tournaments. It just is what it is. You just have to stay focused. Nate should move to Vegas for the month of June. I would love to do that. That I have looked a little bit at it. I have thought about it. I would love to. If anybody has an Airbnb that has an extra bedroom for the month of June, I will take it. That is a promise.
I mean, why don't you like find an apartment, put up a package for whatever tournaments you want to play, try to sell some action and stay out there.
Finding the apartment part. It's the living out there part. I don't have a driver's license and I wouldn't be able, I would need it to be furnished. Like it would have to be like an Airbnb, but on the strip. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Get an Airbnb.
So I need an Airbnb furnished on the strip for the month of June. That's what
all Airbnbs are furnished.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I need it not to be expensive.
Stay at Palm's place. They have like
they move residences. WSOP to the strip though.
Oh shit, I forgot about that. All right, we'll stay at like Harrah's. I don't know.
That's where it is. That's like the last place. I have to stay at like Circus.
Yeah, stay at the Q. The Q's cheap.
The what?
The Q.
The Link.
Yeah, the Link.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah. It's not called the Q?
It just has a huge Q.
There's like something called the Q that is in the Link, I think.
Oh, okay.
The Link is the hotel.
That place is always mad cheap.
I, every time I've gone there, they've been very, very reasonable, like under $50.
Yeah, I don't know why. It seems like a nice hotel.
Don't be fooled, it's not.
Yeah.
Isn't it new or like newish?
I mean, they upgraded it. They window dressed a bad situation. So it's
interesting.
I feel like, Nate, that's a good idea if you're there for 3 or 4 nights, but longer than that, I think that's
here's my situation is my lease expires May 31st.
Let's go.
So, and I got a really good COVID deal and they're allowed to like make the price just like the old price before I moved in, which means my rent would go up, quick math, 35%.
Oh, I can't afford Hell's Kitchen.
You know what? As it should.
Oh, fuck you. No.
As it should. All these people think they get these 35% discounts and everything's just going to stay the same.
I hope your squatters take a shit all over your apartment.
I've been getting paid or not paid COVID rent for a year after the market has recovered. So I'm sympathetic to the
you're just a slumlord like the rest of these scumbags who the old price for the apartment I live in is so outrageous that like nobody in their right mind should be willing to pay it. But like I emailed the guy in December and I was like, hey, I'll resign right now for the same price. I'll do an 18-month lease, like whatever I got to do. I can't pay the old price. And he sent back like one sentence. He goes, no, we'll talk after the new year. It's like, all right, I tried. It's just, I can't pay 35% more than I'm paying currently. That's impossible money.
Yeah, it's probably outrageous. Why don't you move back to Hoboken?
They're going to say DC. I was like, well, DC is the other option. DC is the more likely option. But that's a discussion for another time. WSOP are some greedy fucks. Tourney structure at Turning Stone right now are insanely bad. If you get in,
yeah, I heard that.
You can't even see a flop.
They changed the circuit structures, I heard.
Really? And they're like just miserable?
But that's what people are bitching for sure.
Were they good before? I mean,
they were like 40 minute levels day one, and then I think it was like 60 day two of those mains. And so those are pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But I think that's changed.
Oh, Jake, you can't go to your beloved Turning Stone.
When is that?
Next week? This week.
I mean, why not?
Because you're getting surgery tomorrow.
Yeah, but I can still go. I won't, but I could.
Hey, you know,
there's a tournament at Borgata this weekend. Maybe I'll go too.
You don't have the balls to wait in that line.
I dare you to go to that.
Yeah. Be the on location reporter.
Yeah.
Boots on the ground.
Let us know how that goes.
Yeah.
Totally.
I can't think of one thing I'd like to do less than wait in a line.
What's the 20th Borgata this week?
Somebody's like, well, actually.
I think it's maybe a 1K. Down the shore.
Okay.
Yeah, it probably has like a 500K guarantee or something.
Yeah, it's a 2K?
I think it's a 1K. I'm completely guessing on the guarantee. That's maybe it's less.
Don't do it. Smitty, I see that face. Don't do it. You're supposed to be with your wife and your beautiful child and your family. You don't want to be the dad that goes out for a gallon of milk and doesn't come back.
No, that would never happen. No, I don't have time to go down the shore. Maybe the summer, like you could drop the wife and kid off, the in-laws during vacation week, escape for 12 to 36 hours, play a tournament. I don't know, but this weekend, no.
I'm going to – I might pop in Best Bet in Jacksonville, Florida this weekend at some point because I've got the bachelor party in St. Augustine down by there. So I'm going to try to.
How far is that?
Like 40 minutes, but I got to fly into Jacksonville, and my flight's like early Friday morning, and I got to kill 4 or 5 hours, so I might pop in there and
play some cards. Here's a really bad question. Would you rather final table the WSOP main or a WPT 10K event?
I mean, obviously the main for the $1 million.
WPT doesn't run 10Ks.
Five Diamond? Is that a WPT?
Yeah, that one a year.
Yep. No, they do. You're right.
Yeah. Suck it, Jake.
And LAPC. Although,
yeah, maybe if you got out there and played.
I played LAPC like four times. Three times.
Actually, I think you played while I've known you. Yeah.
Yeah, I've played a few times.
Obviously, if I could final table one tournament in the world ever in my entire life, it would be the WSOP main event.
Yeah, of course.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Who would be. Trying to think. Okay, here's the question. If Jake, if you could pick one of us to final table the main, who would you pick? I'd pick Mincy. Over you too. Like if I had to pick between the three of you, I'd pick Mincy, no brainer.
I was gonna say Smitty would be really fun to final table it, but I would pick Mincy.
Has to be Mincy.
It would be pretty damn fun. I'm not going to lie. That would be.
How come you never did, pussy?
I mean, I wish if that I had my one year, if my aces and if I hadn't had aces popped and lost, if I'd have won that 65 big blind flip, who knows, man. But you know,
against Joseph Chung?
No. This was when I got 75th. I just lost ace, queen, tens. I mean, it was a real standard, but it was a big one.
It's brutal. Yeah.
I was actually just talking. I was with Greg earlier, and I was just talking to him about how the few runs that I've made, I've just seen guys that end up, you know, top fiving it, like on day five and day six, just win these huge, huge pots that it's just like a gift. Just like massive, massive pots on day five and day six. That, I mean, obviously there's a ton more work that needs to be done from there, but it's just like, then you just see them, they're at the final table, and then they kind of just cruise to a top five.
You finished 35th in the main, but I think I've asked you this, and I was like, is there any hands that you could play differently? And you're just like, there's nothing I could have done. Like there's just nothing you could playing correctly do differently.
I mean, when I made that really deep run in 2015, I mean, I could have folded on my bust out hand. Like it was a really, really gross spot. And like, yeah, I mean, obviously in hindsight, I would have folded, or I would have like maybe valued that 25 blinds that I had a little bit more. But I mean, I don't know. It was also like just a disgusting spot. And I think I get it in pretty good, decent amount of the time.
What was the hand again?
Max Steinberg opens under the gun. This is at 60K, 120K. Tom Canuley calls button. I defend the big blind with King 10 of diamonds. Comes 10-5-4, two spades with the 5-4 of spades. Checks to the button. Tom, who bets, I think he bet 400K. I call. Max check raises to 1.2 or something. Button folds, and I had like 2.8, and stuck it in after some thought. I mean, it's gross. It's like a horrible spot, and like I didn't know it at the time, but like there was a very similar spot earlier in the day where he took the same action, and like it wasn't like streamed on Poker Go at that point, so it's not like yeah. like nobody knew, but he had a pretty good, I mean it was a good bluff like earlier in the day, but like just showing that he's like obviously capable of doing something.
He had pocket kings, right?
Yeah. He had kings. I was in some trouble.
You needed another 10.
You're right. I did.
You shouldn't be mad at yourself. You should be mad at the dealer for flopping you a 10. I mean, you flopped top pair.
Yeah, you're right. I never thought of that. I am mad at the dealer retroactively.
Speaking of dealers, y'all see they're giving WSOP. There must be big inflation. Must be bad if WSOP dealers get raised.
Yeah, they already they announced we're hiring dealers like last week or 2 weeks ago, and now they're just like, we'll pay you even more money. Yeah, if you want to deal out WSOP, this is your year. They need a ton of dealers, and they're paying a premium for them. They still haven't announced free room and board yet. I think that'll be the next step. But dealers are seemingly hard to come by.
That could be your ticket for the month of June.
I can't even shuffle. I give dealers so much credit how they're able to just like do the math and like change and all, like I can't do any of that stuff. I would be so overwhelmed.
Well, time to enlist in the dealer school and then you'll be good to go.
Nah, that if I'm down to my last dollar, I would not be it. I just wouldn't be able to deal. Just can't do it.
Yeah. Tough job.
Couple of times in life where I thought about doing it, never did when I was real low.
What's his name is doing it? Jake, who is the professional poker player who you saw dealing?
Dutch Boyd.
Oh, Dutch Boyd, yeah.
He's ain't out no there. Shame in it.
Mincy, you're on Dozen today, right?
You're taping today. Yeah, we can play in Dave on his birthday.
And you guys picked poker as your niche category?
Yeah, we did. I don't know what's coming, but what I think strategy-wise.
I sent Jeff 3 questions. I don't know which one he's picking, but I wrote them.
Well, I'm going to go back and study the main event winners because I feel like that's a pretty obvious thing that you get asked.
Good luck. Don't blame me if you get it wrong, though.
Okay.
Should I just tell you what the questions were?
Nah, you don't need to do that.
That was a test. I mean, Smitty, we all know you cheat during the dozen, but Mintz would never.
Well,
yeah. This is what Smitty does. Smitty says he has to watch the baby, so it looks like he's looking at his baby monitor, but he's actually getting intel sent to him. It is quite a scam, but we figured it out.
When he pulled out 20%.
You pulled Ryan Motes out of your asshole while you were checking on the baby. Okay.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta know your third string mid 2000s Eagles, right?
Ryan Motes is
he's LA Tech. I told you that's an impossible question.
Like, carried me to a college fancy title
once. Yeah, I'm not gonna take Eagles anymore if like Ryan Motes is gonna be the answer or on par with that, because that's an impossible question.
You magically got it.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What about the other 90% of questions that I failed on?
Yeah, that's because you're keeping it balanced. Like, duh.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Jake, would you be good at – do you ever watch The Dozen? I wonder if you'd be good at that.
At trivia?
Yeah, but they're like really – I hate it. I just hate the questions. The questions are just so specific that it's like – they drive me nuts.
Yeah, I mean – I don't even know what category I would be. I've done like okay in like bar trivia, but like, you know.
Smitty, you would say Jeff's trivia is harder than bar trivia, right?
That sounds like it.
It's different. It's different.
Yeah.
It is more. And also he, difficulty wise, tries to overcompensate. So like we've been getting baseball questions all right in a row, and then he'll make like the baseball question, which isn't our specialty, just like insanely hard.
Also,
like Morgan Ensberg was an answer.
What?
like what? Like, excuse me? I mean, that guy played for the Astros in like 2002.
We had like an Albaldo Jimenez question. It was just, oh, that was with you. Yeah. But also, we've never gotten one of the face mashes correct in all our games. We've never gotten one correct, and he makes us do it every time. So,
well, that's you guys. You gotta be like Balls. Balls gets them all right.
That's what I'm, but like,
I don't know them at all either. But luckily, I have Robbie and Coley, and they always get them. I've never contributed anything on that front either.
Who's the one seed right now?
Chicago still.
I tried to get Galen Hall. The smartest human being in the world, who would know everything about everything. I tried to get him on my trivia team, and Jen Simons said no. But Jen Simons has since quit, so I think I'm going to try to get Galen for next season.
That would actually be fun if you, like, you, Jake, and then like Galen. I have like a poker team in there.
I think we would dominate. Galen knows everything about everything. Like, he is very, very smart. So I think I'm going to try for next season to get her. I mean, he might be too smart. They might end up kicking him out for knowing too much. He reminds me of a guy who could win Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Just knows everything. I miss that show. Anyway, you want to do one more poker question, then we can go home?
Yeah, I do want to promote after the poker question.
Do some promotion. Let's go.
All right, just next week, we're doing the first ever Barstool team at Hawks of the Cause, which is a barbecue and music fest in New Orleans that raises money for families fighting pediatric brain cancer. It's a phenomenal cause. My goal is to raise $100,000, which is a big goal. But if we raise it, we're going to have a Barstool room in the new Hawks House in Baton Rouge, where families stay while their children are being cared for, whether it's NICU or cancer. It's like a Ronald McDonald House, but it's a lofty goal. We've got Team Portnoy shirts pinned on my Twitter. Buy them. We're going to be asking for donations. We're going to be selling food. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. But it's something I really, really, really am passionate about, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's April 1st and 2nd in New Orleans, and buy a Team Portnoy shirt.
And when is that?
What's up?
How do people donate?
Buying a shirt's an easy way. We also have a fundraising page that I'll put the link up under Cracking Aces. But right now, you know, whether it's fundraising, shirts, selling food, a whole bunch of stuff, I'm going to talk to some companies about some donations and, you know, leading the horse to water with the Team Portnoy name on Dave, but, you know, I don't want to point blank ask him, but hopefully he'll embrace this. But regardless, it's just for a great cause. It's an awesome event, and it's going to help Barstool grow in the South. So it's really just a win-win across the board.
So we'll tweet out all those links.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, final question. And I meant to ask this last week because I actually find when Garrett was on, because I find this question actually very interesting. I've always wondered how a pro pays themselves. Do you have a set percentage of profits each month that goes into your life role, like a paycheck? Or do you just like pull money out when you need it and just whatever? Like, how do you separate life role, bank role? Do you pay yourself a salary?
I'm curious about this too, because this is part of my undoing.
It's a very good question.
It's actually a great question. I mean, I'm sure if you had, you know, 10 different pros on here, there would be a lot of different answers. For me personally, I take it as I need it. For the most part.
Do you have a bank account for poker bankroll? No.
I mean, I'm fortunate, right? Like I don't need to have, if I were more of a live player, whether it's cash or tournaments, I would need to have, you know, a good amount of cash sitting on the sidelines that I just need, you know, I just need to play with. If I was playing like a bunch of higher buy-in live stuff, like you just need a lot of money just kind of sitting there ready to be used. And maybe not, maybe a live person would say, no, actually, you don't, like, here's what I do. But, I don't need, you know, I keep of the three online sites that I play on, I keep like around a certain number on each site. And when it's, you know, after like whatever, a few weeks, a month, 2 months, I'll cash out a certain amount to get back to that number because I don't really need any more than that on there.
Then you decide if I want to use this money to invest or crypto or.
Yeah, exactly. Like, currently, like money that I am saving is going towards, you know, bullshit that I've had to deal with, like regular life stuff. So that's, which is totally fine. Like, that's why I play. Like, that's why I need it. Sometimes it goes towards crypto stuff. Other times it goes into the stock market. Other times it goes into my retirement. Other times I build it up to have more, you know, have enough to try to buy a new real estate project or something. So just depends.
Cool. Yeah.
But I mean, like
asking Garrett would have been interesting because he's all live and plays high buy-ins.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that would have been, I don't know how much he would like want to divulge about that. Especially since he's like playing super high stakes and you know, those numbers are pretty big. But yeah, I mean, it'd be super interesting.
Also, his answer just would have been correct. Like whatever he says, be like, that's the way to do it. Cause that guy just.
Yeah, no, I mean, my answer is kind of boring, but I would be interested to know a lot of like the live guys' strategies and what they do.
Let's remember to ask like the next big high roller, how that works.
Yeah. I will say like, having like kind of like I've dived into the crypto world, like, I mean, I've been in it for a while, but like getting more involved in it, and it's just I'm fortunate to have like to be able to play poker and like have that side income, or like that, I guess that's my main income, but like have that like stream of cash coming in where like you're kind of, it doesn't really faze me if like certain investments are in like a down market, because like you're able to either add to it or, you know, build up life expenses. So like this, you know, the crypto stuff or whatever it might be, like those swings don't really faze me as much. Cause I think it'd be really hard if I did, like, for people that do crypto only, you have to treat it like a real bankroll. And like be constantly like taking profits and like taking money out to support yourself and all this stuff. And I know that can be really hard to do.
Speaking of crypto, and we'll end the show here. People always wonder where Joey Ingram is. I talked to him yesterday. He's alive. He's in Vegas. He's just not doing content but he's staying off the radar, but he's alive. He's doing well, doing a lot of crypto NFT stuff. Just he just kind of pivoted his life away from what his life was. I'm sure he'll be back. I don't want to say I'm positive, but you know, who loves it more than him? So he's doing well though.
Good.
I think that he just disappeared one day and everybody's like, what happened to Joey? But
yeah,
he's good. So that's episode what, Ben?
128.
I think that's right. Let's see.
Nailed 2 weeks ago, I said 126. And then last week, my flight had all its flight problems.
128. Yeah. We have a lot of good episodes. In case you're new, a lot of good guests. Subscribe, 5-star reviews, merch, etc. That's Adam. That's Ben. Jake, good luck with your surgery.
Thank you.
Smitty, give us a good one.
General Spanx has been demoted. All hail the destroyer.